Chapter 2, Part 2 of Fox's Book of Martyrs, Volume 1. Fox's Book of Martyrs, Volume 1 by John Fox. Edited by William Byron Forbush. Chapter 2, The 10 Primitive Persecutions, Part 2. The fifth persecution, commencing with Severus, Anno Domini 192. Severus, having been recovered from a severe fit of sickness by a Christian, became a great favourer of the Christians in general, but the prejudice and fury of the ignorant multitude prevailing, obsolete laws were put in execution against the Christians. The progress of Christianity alarmed the pagans, and they revived the stale calumny of placing accidental misfortunes to the account of its professors, Anno Domini 192. But though persecuting malice raged, yet the gospel shone with resplendent brightness, and firm as an impregnable rock, withstood the attacks of its boisterous enemies with success. Tertullian, who lived in this age, informs us that if the Christians had collectively withdrawn themselves from the Roman territories, the empire would have been greatly depopulated. Victor, Bishop of Rome, suffered martyrdom in the first year of the 3rd century, Anno Domini 201. Leonidas, the father of the celebrated Origen, was beheaded for being a Christian. Many of Origen's hearers likewise suffered martyrdom, particularly two brothers named Plutarchus and Serenus. Another Serenus, Heron and Heraclides, were beheaded. Rais had boiled pitch poured upon her head, and was then burned, as was Marcella her mother. Botaneia, the sister of Rais, was executed in the same manner as Rais had been. But Basilides, an officer belonging to the army, and ordered to attend her execution, became her convert. Basilides being, as an officer, required to take a certain oath, refused, saying that he could not swear by the Roman idols, as he was a Christian. Struck with surprise, the people could not, at first, believe what they heard, but he had no sooner confirmed the same than he was dragged before the judge, committed to prison, and speedily afterward beheaded. Irenaeus, Bishop of Lyons, was born in Greece, and received both a polite and a Christian education. It is generally supposed that the account of the persecutions at Lyons was written by himself. He succeeded the martyr Potinus as Bishop of Lyons, and ruled his diocese with great propriety. He was a zealous opposer of heresies in general, and about Anno Domini 187 he wrote a celebrated tract against heresy. Victor, the Bishop of Rome, wanting to impose the keeping of Easter there in preference to other places, it occasioned some disorders among the Christians. In particular, Irenaeus wrote him a synodical epistle in the name of the Gallic churches. This zeal in favor of Christianity pointed him out as an object of resentment to the emperor, and in Anno Domini 202 he was beheaded. The persecutions now extending to Africa, many were martyred in that quarter of the globe, the most particular of whom we shall mention. Perpetua, a married lady of about 22 years. Those who suffered with her were Felicitas, a married lady, big with child at the time of her being apprehended, and Revocatus, catechumen of Carthage and a slave. The names of the other prisoners, destined to suffer upon this occasion, were Saturninus, Secundulus, and Satur. On the day appointed for their execution, they were led to the amphitheatre. Satur, Saturninus, and Revocatus were ordered to run the gauntlet between the hunters, for such as had the care of the wild beasts. The hunters being drawn up in two ranks, they ran between, and were severely lashed as they passed. Felicitas and Perpetua were stripped, in order to be thrown to a mad bull, which made his first attack upon Perpetua and stunned her. He then darted at Felicitas, and gored her dreadfully, but not killing them. The executioner did that office with a sword. Revocatus and Satur were destroyed by wild beasts. Saturninus was beheaded, and Secundulus died in prison. These executions were in the 205. On the 8th day of March. Speratus and 12 others were likewise beheaded, as was Andocles in France, Asclepiades, Bishop of Antioch, suffered many tortures, but his life was spared. Cecilia, a young lady of good family in Rome, was married to a gentleman named Valerian. She converted her husband and brother, who were beheaded, and the Maximus, or officer, who led them to execution, becoming their convert, suffered the same fate. The lady was placed naked in a scalding bath, and having continued there a considerable time, her head was struck off with a sword, Anno Domini 222. Callistus, Bishop of Rome, was martyred, Anno Domini 224, but the manner of his death is not recorded, and Urban, Bishop of Rome, met the same fate, Anno Domini 232. The sixth persecution, under Maximus, Anno Domini 235. Anno Domini 235 was in the time of Maximinus. In Cappadocia, the president, Seremianus, did all he could to exterminate the Christians from that province. The principal persons who perished under his reign were Pontianus, Bishop of Rome, Anteros, a Grecian, his successor, who gave offense to the government by collecting the acts of the martyrs, Pamachius and Quiritus, Roman senators with all their families, and many other Christians, Simplicius, senator, Calipodius, a Christian minister, thrown into the Tiber, Martina, a noble and beautiful virgin, and Hippolytus, a Christian prelate, tied to a wild horse and dragged until he expired. During this persecution raised by Maximinus, numberless Christians were slain without trial, and buried indiscriminately in heaps, sometimes 50 or 60, being cast into a pit together, without the least decency. The tyrant Maximinus dying, Anno Domini 238, was succeeded by Gordian, during whose reign, and that of his successor Philip, the church was free from persecution for the space of more than 10 years. But in Anno Domini 249, a violent persecution broke out in Alexandria at the instigation of a pagan priest, without the knowledge of the emperor. The seventh persecution, under Decius, Anno Domini 249. This was occasioned partly by the hatred he bore to his predecessor Philip, who was deemed a Christian, and was partly by his jealousy concerning the amazing increase of Christianity, for the heathen temples began to be forsaken, and the Christian churches thronged. These reasons stimulated Decius to attempt the very extirpation of the name of Christian, and it was unfortunate for the gospel that many errors had, about this time, crept into the church. The Christians were at variance with each other, self-interest divided those whom social love ought to have united, and the virulence of pride occasioned a variety of factions. The heathens in general were ambitious to enforce the imperial decrees upon this occasion, and looked upon the murder of a Christian as a merit to themselves. The martyrs upon this occasion were innumerable, but the principal we shall give some account of. Fabian, the Bishop of Rome, was the first person of eminence who felt the severity of this persecution. The deceased Emperor Philip had, on account of his integrity, committed his treasure to the care of this good man. But Decius, not finding as much as his avarice made him expect, determined to wreak his vengeance on the good prelate. He was accordingly seized, and on January the 20th, Anno Domini 250, he suffered decapitation. Julian, a native of Cilicia, as we are informed by Saint Chrysostom, was seized upon for being a Christian. He was put into a leather bag, together with a number of serpents and scorpions, and in that condition thrown into the sea. Peter, a young man, amiable for the superior qualities of his body and mind, was beheaded for refusing to sacrifice to Venus. He said, "I am astonished you should sacrifice to an infamous woman, whose debaucheries even your own historians record, and whose life consisted of such actions as your laws would punish. No, I shall offer the true God the acceptable sacrifice of praises and prayers." Optimus, the proconsul of Asia, on hearing this, ordered the prisoner to be stretched upon a wheel, by which all his bones were broken, and then he was sent to be beheaded. Nicomachus, being brought before the proconsul as a Christian, was ordered to sacrifice to the pagan idols. Nicomachus replied, "I cannot pay that respect to devils, which is only due to the Almighty." This speech so much enraged the proconsul that Nicomachus was put to the rack. After enduring the torment for a time, he recanted, but scarcely had he given this proof of his frailty than he fell into the greatest agonies, dropped down on the ground, and expired immediately. Denisa, a young woman of only 16 years of age, who beheld this terrible judgment, suddenly exclaimed, "Oh, unhappy wretch, why would you buy a moment's ease at the expense of a miserable eternity?" Optimus, hearing this, called her, and Denisa, avowing herself to be a Christian, she was beheaded by his order soon after. Andrew and Paul, two companions of Nicomachus, the martyr, Anno Domini 251, suffered martyrdom by stoning, and expired, calling on their blessed Redeemer. Alexander and Epimachus of Alexandria were apprehended for being Christians, and confessing the accusation, were beat with staves, torn with hooks, and at length burned in the fire, and we are informed, in a fragment preserved by Eusebius, that four female martyrs suffered on the same day, and at the same place, but not in the same manner, for these were beheaded. Lucian and Marcian, two wicked pagans, though skillful magicians, becoming converts to Christianity, to make amends for their former errors, lived the lives of hermits, and subsisted upon bread and water only. After some time spent in this manner, they became zealous preachers and made many converts. The persecution, however, raging at this time, they were seized upon and carried before Sabinus, the governor of Bithynia. On being asked by what authority they took upon themselves to preach, Lucian answered that the laws of charity and humanity obliged all men to endeavor the conversion of their neighbors and to do everything in their power to rescue them from the snares of the devil. Lucian, having answered in this manner, Marcian said, "Their conversion was by the same grace which was given to Saint Paul, who, from a zealous persecutor of the church, became a preacher of the gospel." The proconsul, finding that he could not prevail with them to renounce their faith, condemned them to be burnt alive, which sentence was soon after executed. Trifo and Respicius, two eminent men, were seized as Christians and imprisoned at Nike. Their feet were pierced with nails, they were dragged through the streets, scourged, torn with iron hooks, scorched with lighted torches, and at length beheaded, February the 1st, Anno Domini 251. Agata, a Sicilian lady, was not more remarkable for her personal and acquired endowments than her beauty. Her beauty was such that Quintinian, governor of Sicily, became enamored of her and made many attempts upon her chastity without success. In order to gratify his passions with the greater conveniency, he put the virtuous lady into the hands of Aphrodite, a very infamous and licentious woman. This wretch tried every artifice to win her to the desired prostitution, but found all her efforts were vain, for her chastity was impregnable, and she well knew that virtue alone could procure true happiness. Aphrodite acquainted Quintian with the inefficacy of her endeavors, who, enraged to be foiled in his designs, changed his lust into resentment. On her confessing that she was a Christian, he determined to gratify his revenge, as he could not his passion. Pursuant to his orders, she was scourged, burnt with red-hot irons, and torn with sharp hooks. Having borne these torments with admirable fortitude, she was next laid naked upon live coals, intermingled with glass, and then being carried back to prison, she there expired on February the 5th, 251. Cyril, bishop of Gortina, was seized by order of Lucius, the governor of that place, who nevertheless exhorted him to obey the imperial mandate, perform the sacrifices, and save his venerable person from destruction, for he was now 84 years of age. The good prelate replied that as he had long taught others to save their souls. He should only think now of his own salvation. The worthy prelate heard his furious sentence without emotion, walked cheerfully to the place of execution, and underwent his martyrdom with great fortitude. The persecution raged in no place more than the island of Crete, for the governor, being exceedingly active in executing the imperial decrees, that place streamed with pious blood. Babylas, a Christian of a liberal education, became bishop of Antioch, Anno Domini 237, on the demise of Zabinus. He acted with inimitable zeal and governed the church with admirable prudence during the most tempestuous times. The first misfortune that happened to Antioch during his mission was the siege of it by Sapor, king of Persia, who, having overrun all Syria, took and plundered this city among others, and used the Christian inhabitants with greater severity than the rest, but was soon totally defeated by Gordian. After Gordian's death, in the reign of Decius, that emperor came to Antioch, where, having a desire to visit an assembly of Christians, Babylas opposed him, and absolutely refused to let him come in. The emperor dissembled his anger at that time, but soon, sending for the bishop, he sharply reproved him for his insolence, and then ordered him to sacrifice to the pagan deities as an expiation for his offense. This being refused, he was committed to prison, loaded with chains, treated with great severities, and then beheaded, together with three young men, who had been his pupils, Anno Domini 251. Alexander, bishop of Jerusalem, about this time, was cast into prison on account of his religion, where he died through the severity of his confinement. Julianus, an old man, lame with the goat, and Cronion, another Christian, were bound on the backs of camels, severely scourged, and then thrown into a fire and consumed. Also 40 virgins at Antioch, after being imprisoned and scourged, were burned. In the year of our Lord 251, the emperor Decius, having erected a pagan temple at Ephesus, he commanded all who were in that city to sacrifice to the idols. This order was nobly refused by 7 of his own soldiers, Maximinianus, Martianus, Joannes, Malchus, Dionysius, Sarion, and Constantinus. The emperor, wishing to win these soldiers to renounce their faith by his entreaties and lenity, gave them a considerable respite until he returned from an expedition. During the emperor's absence, they escaped and hid themselves in a cavern, which the emperor being informed of at his return, the mouth of the cave was closed up, and they all perished with hunger. Theodora, a beautiful young lady of Antioch, on refusing to sacrifice to the Roman idols, was condemned to the stews, that her virtue might be sacrificed to the brutality of lust. Didymus, a Christian, disguised himself in the habit of a Roman soldier, went to the house, informed Theodora who he was, and advised her to make her escape in his clothes. This being effected, and a man found in the brothel instead of a beautiful lady, Didymus was taken before the president, to whom, confessing the truth, and owning that he was a Christian, the sentence of death was immediately pronounced against him. Theodora, hearing that her deliverer was likely to suffer, came to the judge, threw herself at his feet, and begged that the sentence might fall on her as the guilty person. But deaf to the cries of the innocent, and insensible to the calls of justice, the inflexible judge condemned both, when they were executed accordingly, being first beheaded, and their bodies afterwards burned. Secundianus, having been accused as a Christian, was conveyed to prison by some soldiers. On the way, Varianus and Marcellinus said, "Where are you carrying the innocent?" This interrogatory occasioned them to be seized, and all three, after having been tortured, were hanged and decapitated. Origen, the celebrated presbyter and catechist of Alexandria, at the age of 64, was seized, thrown into a loathsome prison, laden with fetters, his feet placed in the stocks, and his legs extended to the utmost for several successive days. He was threatened with fire and tormented by every lingering means the most infernal imaginations could suggest. During this cruel temporizing, the Emperor Decius died, and Gallus, who succeeded him, engaging in a war with the Goths, the Christians met with a respite. In this interim, Origen obtained his enlargement, and retiring to Tyre, he there remained until his death, which happened when he was in the 69th year of his age. Gallus, the emperor, having concluded his wars, a plague broke out in the empire. Sacrifices to the pagan deities were ordered by the emperor, and persecution spread from the interior to the extreme parts of the empire, and many fell martyrs to the impetuosity of the rabble, as well as the prejudice of the magistrates. Among these were Cornelius, the Christian bishop of Rome, and Lucius, his successor, in 253. Most of the errors which crept into the church at this time arose from placing human reason in competition with revelation, but the fallacy of such arguments being proved by the most able divines, the opinions they had created vanished, away like the stars before the sun. End of chapter 2, part 2.
This Reformation audio track is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. SWRB makes thousands of classic Reformation resources available, free and for sale, in audio, video, and printed formats. Our many free resources, as well as our complete mail order catalog, containing thousands of classic and contemporary Puritan and Reform books, tapes, and videos at great discounts, is on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com, by phone at 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, that's E-D-M-O-N-T-O-N, Alberta, abbreviated capital A, capital B, Canada, T6L3T5. You may also request a free printed catalog. And remember that John Calvin, in defending the Reformation's regulative principle of worship, or what is sometimes called the scriptural law of worship, commenting on the words of God, "which I commanded them not, neither came into my heart," from his commentary on Jeremiah 7:31, writes, "God here cuts off from men every occasion for making evasions, since he condemns by this one phrase, 'I have not commanded them,' whatever the Jews devised. There is then no other argument needed to condemn superstitions than that they are not commanded by God. For when men allow themselves to worship God according to their own fancies, and attend not to his commands, they pervert true religion. And if this principle is adopted by the papists, all those fictitious modes of worship in which they absurdly exercise themselves would fall to the ground. It is indeed a horrible thing for the papists to seek to discharge their duties towards God by performing their own superstitions. There is an immense number of them, as it is well known, and as it manifestly appears. Were they to admit this principle, that we cannot rightly worship God except by obeying his word, they would be delivered from their deep abyss of error. The prophet's words, then, are very important, when he says that God had commanded no such thing, and that it never came to his mind, as though he had said that men assume too much wisdom when they devise what he never required, nay, what he never knew."